Whatever happens, till death do us part. Does the home reflect the heart? Oh, parents' faces tell of worried minds, while children search, but they can't seem to find. It's time we took a closer look, got back to living by the holy book. No compromise without getting slack. See, the church won't go forward, it'll just go back. We know the trees by the fruit we see. Serving God has no in-between. We're either cold or we're hot. He said in his word, lukewarm shall have no part. It's coming down to in or out. There's no time for playing around. We're going back to lost or found. We're going back to stand our ground. We've made it back to living true. We've made it back to the absolute. Back to where the church stands strong. Back to where there's a right and there is a wrong. Back to where is black or white. You see, the difference is like day and night. We're going back to things above. We've made it back to our first love. We are arising like a sleeping giant, standing tall in God's strength and might. All the power we claimed for so long, it has returned and we've been made strong. We're not looking to the right or to the left. Our eyes, their spirit led. We're going back to true or false. Bride, we've made it back to Calvary's cross. We've made it back to living true. We're going back to the absolute. Back to where the church stands strong. Back to where there's a right and there is a wrong. Back to where is black or white. You see, the difference is like day and night. Back to where, to things above. We're going back to our first love. We've made it back to living true. We've made it back to the absolute. Back to where the church stands strong. Back to where there's a right and there is a wrong. Back to where is black or white. You see, the difference is like day and night. Back to where the things above made it back to our first love.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. God bless you, sister. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand as we sing the song. He abides. Amen. Hallelujah. Night and day, as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see, and the reason of my blame, yes, the secret all is there, that the comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the comforter abides with me. Oh, once my heart was of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the comforter abides with me. Oh, he is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird, and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul. Since the Comforter abides with me, oh, he abides. As I walk in a way, for the comforter abides with me. Oh, yes, he has them for the ten of the world been taken away. Long ago I gave them an instantly. All my burdens rolled away. Now the comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. Rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides. Oh, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. am rejoicing night and day as I walk in the narrow way for the comfort abides with me.
Amen. Let's sing the song. I enter the holies of holies. Amen. We enter in tonight. Amen.
To the holy of holies, I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I
Bibles, we do greet you in Jesus' name. Let's open Genesis 32, get a reading from there. May the Lord bless the item that was sung. It was a real blessing. Thanks to the saints for the song worship. Genesis 32, let's read from 24. A good old familiar story about Jacob at Peniel. And Jacob was left alone, and they wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. "For I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Let's also read Jeremiah chapter 30, from verse 6 to verse 11. Again, the prophet refers to this. speaking about Jacob as well, but it's Jacob in our day, it's Israel. The time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, this is coming into the tribulation period. And Jeremiah is seeing this in a vision from verse 6. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. So it's birth pains. But a man. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? And all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, and they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for your word. Lead us upon this night, we pray. Father, we need your grace, we need your mercy upon a Wednesday night, Lord. Won't you help us? Father, prayer has already been made for Brother Shepherd, who's asking for prayer for the saints that are not here upon this night. Father, thank you for the song that has been sung upon this night. Let it be a prophecy upon this night, we pray. And Father, won't you bless us and shut us in with thee? Father, touch your people, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. Now, this thought of Jacob, it really, really, to me, it was quite a sweet thought recently, especially in light of just some of the things that have been taking place recently. I'm not too sure if you've been noticing some of the things that have been taking place, the signs in the heavens and you know, signs on the earth, different things taking place, especially concerning Israel. So I just wanted maybe just to speak of a couple of things concerning that, just at the beginning, before we get on to the main point, which is looking at Jacob's trouble, but it being the time of blessing. The time of Israel's blessing. It's Jacob's trouble, the Bible calls it. But we know that all things work together for the elect, for the good of the elect. So when you find God leading his people Israel into birth pains, getting them into a lot of trouble in our age as we go into the tribulation period, the prophet says that, you know, God does nothing by chance. Nothing happens to believers by chance. God is behind every move. There's a purpose behind whatever he does. You know, so we look at that, but it's very interesting what's just taken place in this last week. If you've been watching this agreement that's just been signed between America and Iran concerning allowing them to get nuclear power, which is going to allow them to get nuclear missiles down the way. And how Israel Netanyahu, he went, when we were in Israel, Prime Minister Netanyahu went to Congress, is invited to Congress, and he went and spoke to both houses of Congress. It's a powerful one if you watch it on YouTube. And he addressed them and he spoke about the danger and the foolishness of this deal that America is brokering, President Obama is brokering, to allow them to have access to these centrifuges, nuclear power, which is going to allow Iran to get nuclear missiles. And the interesting thing is on the 3rd of March, I think it was, when Netanyahu went to Congress, he spoke and about Esther. And he says, you know, today is the eve of the festival of Purim. He says, when once before Persia, in the land of Persia, the Malachite spirit rose up and wanted to destroy the children of Israel. He says, but during that particular season, God raised up deliverance in the person of Esther. And God delivered his people. But it was in Persia. You know, it was very interesting that Netanyahu would bring it up because the way that dates and events work, you know, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Now, for him to go and be given an invitation and an opportunity to speak just at the beginning of the festival of Purim, which is Esther's feast, and you find the great threat is Persia, it's Iran once again, and the spirit of Amalek once again, and you find, you know, it was just such a parallel. And the thing that was interesting is if you read the book of Esther, it's Haman who's an Agagite, he's an Amalekite, but he deceives the superpower. He deceives the king Ahasuerus, you know, and makes him sign a declaration, not really knowing what that declaration means, but it means the death of the Jews. Not then, but at a certain future date. So when he came now and he said to the king, you know, there's these people, let's destroy these people and so forth. And the king took off his ring, sealed the decree. You know, the decree was putting danger on Israel down the way. So it's such a parallel to today, because you find Iran now is deceiving the superpower, which is America, once again. And America now is giving in and giving this decree. President Obama signed this declaration. The most of the world is warning him against it. And that means that Israel's going to be in a lot of danger and a lot of trouble just down the way. And Israel could see that. Now, when this deal was signed, it was last week on Wednesday. Yeah, and it's powerful how it works, because when Netanyahu went at the beginning of March and tried to plead with the American people at Congress to say, please, don't allow this deal to go through in the form that it is, because this endangers the very survival of Israel. Because Iran has already, they've stated declaration to destroy Israel. Every week they're saying that. They say, we will destroy Israel. Now, to give people like that nuclear missiles, it's the most irresponsible thing that you can do in this world. But somehow we find America now siding with the Arabs. And the prophet says, the great mistake, he says, America's going to make a great mistake. It's going to side with the Arabs. He says, the only thing that keeps America together is its respect of the Jews. He says in 1956, when there was the war going on with Israel and some of the Arab nations, the prophet says, America's going to make its fatal mistake. It's going to take sides with the Arabs. And now you find that's exactly what they've gone and done in our day. You know, and then they've signed this proclamation. Now, Netanyahu, when he went and he spoke, President Obama, immediately after his speech, they asked him, they said, did you listen to that speech of Netanyahu? He said, I didn't listen to it. And ever since then, the relationship has been so bad between Israel and America. And President Obama came out and says, no, we've got up to March 31st. We're going to make this agreement. Now, it came to March 31st, and they hadn't made an agreement. That was the deadline. Then President Obama came, which was last week on Tuesday, I think it was, and he said, we're going to extend the deadline by one day. And they pushed the deadline of this agreement to April the 1st. Now, April the 1st, they signed the agreement. Now, the most amazing thing about it is April the 1st, according to the Jewish calendar this year, is Nisan 13. Now, if you go and get your book of Esther, chapter 3, look in verse 12. Look at the day when Haman got the king to sign that decree in the Bible. Esther, chapter 3, verse 12. It says, then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. Nisan now, Israel's in the first month. They've just had their Passover, Nisan, last weekend. But verse 12, on the 13th day of the first month, there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants. So, you know, the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. Amen. You know, so these people, they plotted and planned it, said, we're going to sign this by the 31st of March. But the Lord really wanted to show a signal to the day that you're living in, said no, and pushed them onto the next day. And the next day was the 13th of Nisan, exactly the same day when the superpower in the days of Esther was deceived by the spirit of Amalek and Haman to sign a decree which was going to try to destroy Israel just 1 year down the way. And Obama didn't realize that. He came out on the 2nd of April. He said, we signed the agreement yesterday. And it's such a secret agreement. Nobody really knows what's included in this agreement. It's all been like clothed and clouded in like secrecy. Now, Netanyahu picked those things up as well. Because at the same time, last week on Friday, there came the blood moon on the Passover. So imagine they signed this agreement on the Wednesday. Then there comes the third blood moon on the day of the Passover. And you know, the prophet in the church age book, as we said many times, when there was that eclipse of the moon, in those days gone by, 1964, when the Pope went to Jerusalem, the prophet picked it up straight away and said, that means something. He says, that means gross darkness when the Pope was going to Jerusalem and so forth. And exactly the same in our day. On the 1st of Nisan, the beginning of last week, there was the total eclipse of the sun. On the very first day of the Jewish year, the sun went dark. Just a short while later, the moon turns to blood. At the same time, Haman, those Iranians, the spirit of Amalek, is plotting against Israel once again. And we find now that the power, the king, He's siding now with them that are against the Jews. So it's a real, real sign to me. And when I went and I read that, I said, this is really quite an amazing sequence of events. Now, and when they spoke now to Netanyahu and they spoke to the Jews said, we're not worried. Now, we have our military and we have our might and we have all of these things that are going to deliver us. But they don't realize, no, they're not going to be delivered by their power. They're not going to be delivered by their might. God has to bring Israel to a place where they realize they cannot do it themselves. God is going to have to allow these things to build up. Now, the trouble that the heavens are declaring to us at this time for Israel and for the nations, we don't know exactly when it's going to be, how long it's going to take. But you know that these are signs, these are signals in the heaven that God gives to the people that are watching, like the wise men when they saw the signs in the heavens and so forth. Now, these are signals in the heavens that God is giving a warning that something's about to take place. How long it's going to take, we don't know. But that really got me to thinking about Israel. Israel really trusts in its own ability. Now, Israel trusts in its strength. It trusts in its technology. It trusts in its secret service, the Mossad. You know, they're the best in the world. They got the best pilots in the world and all of that. But because they're still Jacob, they may be called the nation of Israel, but they're not yet the nation of Israel in the eyes of God. They're the nation, they're the seed of Jacob. But God is determined, they're not going to stay as Jacob. God has to bring them to a situation to change them from Jacob into Israel. And this is what he does to every single one of his elect. Amen. Every single one that is named in the records, the Lamb's Book of Life, your name was written there. But that name that you were born with, maybe the name you've been living under up to now, you know, that life that you've been living, it hasn't been a reflection of what God really predestined as your destiny. And Israel is not supposed to be a nation that's trusting so much in themselves. They're supposed to be a nation that is surrendered in the hands of God to be used as a vessel. But God is going to have to break them down. And when we see these things starting to build up, we see the nations turning against Israel. We see ISIS now coming into Jordan and, you know, coming into the north in Syria, the northeast. We see Israel getting surrounded by these enemies. We see America turning against Israel. We see these other nations getting missiles and so forth. You know, the prophet spoke about it in many, many of the messages when he spoke about these ungodly nations. He says it in Jesus Christ the Same, 1961. He says, we see these things. He says, we are so glad today, he's praying, in this great tragic time when we are told they have found by research missiles that will blow the earth to pieces. And most every nation has them. Knowing that exactly fits the word of God for this day. We see these things, nations, sinful nations, ungodly nations has those weapons. Most any time there could be an explosion or the radar could be caught, missiles coming from a certain nation, then they'll all turn their missiles loose and the world could not survive it. Then we know that before that could happen before morning. But before this comes to pass, we are told Jesus will come to receive his people. So friends, I think to believers, when you start seeing these things, there's so many things, if you just watch what's taking place, that, no, to anybody who's a believer, the signs are pointing somewhere. We don't set dates, we don't set times, it's not up for us to know. Paul says of the times and the seasons, it's not for you to know. That it's not for us to guess at these things. But Jesus says, do not let these things take you unawares. He says, watch and pray, be ready. Don't let these things come upon you as a thief. He says, because as a snare shall it come upon the whole earth and they shall not escape. You know, and I think it's really a good thing once in a while just to look at these things. The prophet says in Sirs, We Would See Jesus, 1961, he says the quotation of Jesus, that Jesus says, as it was in the days of Lot and as it was in the days of Noah. He says, now God came down in the form of three angels. Two of them went to Sodom and preached and called Lot out of Sodom before the burning of Sodom. So when we see this nuclear age and when we see these insane things that the world are doing, giving these weapons into the hands of these ungodly people, what are they thinking? It just has to be like that. Because there's got to come the burning of Sodom. We've seen the three angels. We've seen Billy Graham. We've seen Oral Roberts going down and preaching in Sodom. Then we've seen the other angel who could discern with his back turned to the tent and so forth. And he came to reveal his secrets to Abraham. You know, we've seen that. We understand the day that we're living in. And the prophet says, now watch how Jesus referred to that now, to the time of the falling of the fire. So we're living just before the time of the falling of the fire. And friends, there's nothing to hold it back just about. That so much is moving in that cycle. And the prophet says, if we are in our right mind, we can see men in his achievement to capture the world. He's achieved something that is going to destroy the world with it. Atomic and hydrogen bombs. And it could happen before daylight. It could happen in a few minutes. He says, what? And it's laying in the hands of sinful men. He always says that. It's not in the hands of godly people. It's not in the hands of people that are governed by the Spirit of God. It's in the hands of people that are governed by the spirit of Amalek. It's getting in the hands of the people that have a hatred for Israel because they're the people of God. Because they are the natural seed of Abraham. And the prophet says that's exactly what God prophesied would take place. The heavens and the earth would be on fire and burn with a fervent heat. He's quoting from 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, before that great and dreadful day of the Lord should come, the world will be burnt up with fire. Malachi 4. And said, the righteous shall walk out on the ashes, like volcanic ashes of the wicked in the millennium. That's right. And the prophet then goes and quotes that scripture. And if you go and read the scripture in 2 Peter 3, Peter says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God? You know, he says, if you consider these things, if you consider all these things are going to be dissolved. No, and the signs are there. There's signs in the heavens. Signs. We've had the super sign. We've had everything that God has promised that he's going to do. And friends, we just see we're moving into that cycle. But there's just a few things that are required for that final cycle to move into place. And the two things are, firstly, every member of the bride, the elect, has to receive their new name. That's what it is. And then every one of the 144,000 elect Jews, they have to receive their new name. Amen. They need to be changed from Jacob unto Israel as well. So that is the only thing that holds this back, is that God is waiting for his people to receive a new name. Yeah, and that's what I just wanted to speak about a little bit. And the way he's going to do that to Israel, he has to take them into the time of Jacob's trouble. Now he has to take them into great distress. That when Jeremiah saw it in the vision, he said it was like a man having the travail of birth, having birth pains, being in labor, being in anguish because of how terrible and dreadful the time was. He says, this is the time. He says, there's no day like it. This is the day of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be delivered from it. You see? And that's why God in his purposes, friends, he'll have to go sometimes to the most furthest extremes that he has to take his people to bring the true manifestation of who you really are. You know, if you don't want to do it willingly, if we don't want to lay ourselves on the altar, submit ourselves to the Lord and say, Jesus, I just want to be a vessel of honor set aside unto the master's use. He has ways of bringing us to that place that we will seek him with all of our heart. Because that's what's going to happen to Israel in the tribulation period. And God now is allowing all these mechanics to be put in place. The nations to move into their positions. For the people to turn. Imagine, we never thought America would turn its back on Israel. Who ever thought that America would side with the Persians against Israel? You never thought, but in our last few years, in our own age, we see it happening. And we know the scripture said it had to happen in the book of Zechariah. It'll be Jerusalem who no man loves. And the Lord said, I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem, against Israel. So it has to be like that. And friends, it's just unfolding before our eyes. But God has a purpose in all of these things. God doesn't bring distress. God doesn't bring trouble. God doesn't bring distress on us. Trouble in your life for nothing. There's always a purpose behind these things. He's trying to bring forth something out of you. Maybe he's trying to purge you of something. He's trying to do something inside of your life. But his aim and his ambition is that he may be glorified, that your destiny may be fulfilled. But we know with the way that we are made, friends, as human beings, we're like Jacob. Now, Jacob, his nature, he never ever wanted to face up to the reality of what needed to be faced up to. Jacob had that kind of a nature, he could always make a plan. Whenever the Lord was trying to get him to a place to reveal himself to this man face to face, Jacob would always have some way to dodge, to run, to do something, to try to bribe his way out, to try to do, you know. He was always a person that trusted in his own ability. Just like Israel now. They really are Jacob. They're trusting in their own ability. They're thinking that their own wisdom and that their own strength and their own power can deliver them from the things that are to come. And God's going to have to let them learn a very, very painful lesson by putting them in a situation like he had to do for Jacob, where there was no escape. Jacob came to the place there was no way out. God put him in a place that he could run no more. There was no way that he could run. Because you know, one of the hardest things for each and every one of us to do is to really face up to who we are. That's one of the hardest things for us to do. We will do anything to get away from facing up to who we really are. To really be honest in the presence of God about our own current condition. It's not an easy thing to do, friends. You know, our old Jacob nature that you're born with, it is so cunning. It's so clever. It'll blame other people. It'll do all these kind of things. Whenever the Lord is drawing near to try to really deal with us in the way that he knows that he needs to deal with us, our friends will do anything to get away from there. We'll try to justify ourselves in this. We'll hide in this and shelter ourselves in that. Or we'll look at other people. And Jacob was that kind of a person. But God knew one day how to get this man to the place where he had to face up to the reality of things face to face. And that was the thing that was going to make the difference. That's why in the message, Desperations, the prophet says, now, Jacob knew that his life was close to an end. You see how God had to put him in a place like Israel's going to be, that the existence is going to be threatened. And there's going to be nothing that they have in their own arsenal or their own power or anything which can deliver them. No, friends, we don't like to get in those kind of a conditions. But these are the sacred sands that the prophet speaks of, that he takes every one of his sons and daughters to. Like he took Job down to those sacred sands. It was painful. Job didn't want to have to go through that kind of a situation. But God knew it was necessary. And the prophet says, I remember when I had to go through that. He says, when my wife died and my children died and so forth. He says, the problem is there was too much Branham in there. You see, and God had to take him down to a sacred place and get him to face up to who he really was. Because friends, we can never really overcome ourselves, overcome the things we need to overcome, until we are so honest with ourselves and so honest in the presence of God about the reality of who we are. Don't you remember when the Lord came to Jacob down there in Peniel? And what did he say to him? When Jacob says, I won't let you go unless you bless me. And then he says to him, what is your name? Imagine the Lord spoke to him, what is your name? And for the first time, maybe in that presence of God, looking right into the mirror of God's presence, the perfect reflection of who he really was, maybe for the first time he realized he was Jacob. He says, what is your name? You want me to bless you, but what is your name? I cannot bless you until first you confess what your name is. Until you are honest with yourself and honest with me about who you really are now. And friends, it's the same with each and every one of us. Until we come to that place of that, not the blame game like Adam and Eve in Eden, that it wasn't my fault, it was the serpent. No, it wasn't my fault, it was the woman that you gave me. But to really come face to face. Because Peniel means face to face with God. But friends, it's not easy coming face to face with God. The Bible says in Malachi, that the Lord says, the Lord who you seek will suddenly come to his temple. But who shall abide the day of his coming. Because when he comes, he's coming like a refiner's fire. That's what the presence of God is like. When God starts to deal with us, friends, if he's faithful in his dealings with us, when we get in his presence, when we come before him, he comes as a refiner's fire. He wants to burn out the dross. He wants to burn out all that doesn't reflect him. And friends, that's not a nice process to have to go through. But you can never receive the name change without that. You see, Jacob would always have remained Jacob. If he had have kept dodging and running and hiding and doing this and doing that, he would have died as Jacob. Yes, he had met angels, he had had dreams. It was good, the things that he had done. God had made a covenant with him. But for him to manifest his new name, for him to really manifest what God thought of him before the foundation of the world, God knew he is a prince with God. He has power to prevail. Before he could come to manifest Israel, he first had to overcome Jacob. And that's where the wrestling match came in. Now he had to hold on to God. Ah, friends, that is so necessary. You know, this is the reason why so many times we get blessed in measure. But it doesn't take us long and we're back doing things that we didn't want to do once again. You know, we're still Jacob. We might have seen angels. We may have seen visions. We may have seen the Lord above Jacob's ladder. And the Lord may have promised inheritance to us and promised us the land and all the things that he did to Jacob. But he still remained Jacob. Now listen how the prophet says it. He says, fear took a hold of him. He sent men on ahead because he knew Esau was coming, with ox and cattle and sheep to make a peace offering with Esau. You know, he's trying to work out an away himself, to fix the situation himself. But it's not going to work this time. God's had enough. God says, now my son, your appointed time has come. This is the time for us to deal seriously with these things now. God had said, this is the time. The prophet says he sent another group with another load of stuff, trying to meet him first, to try to turn away his wrath. Then he got to thinking, that won't stop him. He's probably richer than I am. He doesn't need it. Then he took his wives and his little children and sent them across, so that Esau would see his little children and his wives. And surely his own little nieces and nephews, he wouldn't slay them. But he still couldn't do it. The prophet says, God knows how to get a man. God knows how to get you, and God knows how to get me. God knows exactly what we need to go through. God knows exactly the situations that he needs to put us so that he can bring out the Israel inside of us. So he can bring us to that place where we stop running. He can bring us to that place that it's life and death to us. And that's what he did to Jacob. The prophet says, you know, he got down there on his knees. He had been kind of a little shyster before that. He was Jacob, and Jacob means a deceiver. That's what he was. But there was something that had to happen to him. And friends, there's something that's got to happen to every one of the sons and daughters of God. For the Lord to really get from us what he's predestined us to bring forth, there's something got to happen. And the prophet says, there in desperation, when death laid before him, and he says, there may be men and women sitting here tonight, death lays right before you. And the only way you'll ever be able to achieve the thing you're wanting is to desperately come. I must have it tonight. I get it now, or I'm finished. Tomorrow's too late. I must have it now. You see, you've got to come to that stage. He says, when you pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the token, don't say, now I'll go up and try. Lord, I'm a little bit tired. He says, oh mercy, stay in your seat. Don't even make an attempt. But if you may as well sit where you're at until you get to that place. Until the whole church gets to a place that it's between life and death. You've got to have it now or you'll perish. Then God will move on the scene. It takes desperation to bring God on the scene. Ah, friends, God knows how to get us there. God knows how to bring circumstances, and you'll try to manipulate your way out of them, and God will just bring it back again. And you'll try to dodge, and you'll try to hide, and you'll try to justify yourself, and you'll try to compare yourself with other people and say, you know, but I'm not too bad. And God's looking and saying, this time, I'm not going to allow that to happen this time. This time, something has to happen. The prophet says, Jacob cried like never before. Desperately he called until he got a hold of God. And when he did, he wrestled, not for 15 minutes, but he wrestled to keep him in his soul all night long. Ah, friends, that's the secret. Now, when he got himself in the presence of God and he knew that God was near, you know, he knew, Lord, I'm glad you're near. I know you're hearing my prayers. But I've been in this atmosphere many times and I've come out of here and gone back and been the same. He knew, Lord, I don't want to let you go. I want to keep you in my soul this time. Whether it means I've got to stay here all night while you're dealing and working inside of my soul. I want to keep you in my soul. The prophet says he wrestled to keep him in his soul all night. And still he knew he didn't have the blessing. He was able to hold on, though, until the blessing came. He wrestled desperately. Then in despair, I'll not let go of you. Then the prophet now brings it to our experience. He says, a lot of people say, glory to God, I got it now. He says, there you're deceived. Someone says, I just feel so good, Brother Branham. I went down there and prayed and shivers ran over me. The prophet says, that might have been God. I saw a great light before me. That still might have been God, but that isn't what I'm talking about. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So the prophet's going to bring it down. He says, the very Holy Ghost can fall upon an unbeliever and make them act just exactly like a believer. But by their fruits they are known. Ah, oh, friends, Jacob had many experiences, but he kept bringing forth the fruits of Jacob. He kept bringing forth deception, kept being a supplanter, kept doing those things time and time again. Until finally the Lord says, now, there's got to be a change on the inside. There's got to be a change of Jacob. There can be no more Jacob anymore. And how are you going to know that he's no more Jacob? By his fruits that he brings forth. By the life, by the manifestation of the name that he now has. He was now Israel. He wasn't manifesting Jacob anymore. He started to manifest Israel. And the prophet says, Jacob in desperation, he said, I know I feel you. You're here with me, but I'm not going to let you go. Somebody sees it fine. The first little sensation, they jump up and down, run the aisle. I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. He says, no, 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 no. Jacob stayed there until something happened that made him walk different. Made him a different person because he stayed until that happened. The Bible says he held on until he prevailed. How can a man prevail over God? He says a man can prevail over God. Ah, oh, friends, that was God's appointed time to really deal with this man. But like I say, our human nature, it's very religious. The first nature that you're born with, it will find every excuse not to do that. It will find every justification. It will hide itself. You know, Jeremiah, the Lord spoke through Jeremiah and says, go and tell Israel to stop hiding in a refuge of lies. You know, we can hide in a refuge of lies. We can say everything's okay. And, you know, I'm predestined. And it's true. Jacob was predestinated. But there had to come a time that he had to meet God face to face. There had to come a time where he really got serious about the issue so that he could overcome himself. And then and only then could he bring forth what he was supposed to bring forth. In the seals, the prophet says, one night he caught a hold of something that was real. And he knew it was real. And he stayed with it and held on until he overcame. And his name was changed and called Israel. He overcame. Friends, the promises to the overcome, and this is the greatest overcoming that you'll ever do inside of your life, is when you overcome yourself. When you overcome Jacob so that Israel can manifest himself. He says in Jehovah Jireh, he says, he's speaking about Abraham, also had to have a name change. He says he changed Abraham's name. He says, you will say there's nothing to a name. Then why did he change Abram's name from Abram to Abraham? Why did he change Jacob's name from Jacob supplanter to Israel, prince with God? Why did he change Saul's name to Paul? Certainly, it does mean something. Certainly does. If you're not named right, God will change it if he called you. Yes, sir. Now, it's not meaning your natural name. He's saying if you, because your name is a manifestation of something. Your name, whenever you speak of something, you're naming something. And the prophet says, if you have been called, God is going to change your name. And Israel, having been called in this age to be Israel, have been gathered from among the nations, having been brought back by the grace of God, but their name hasn't been changed yet. But God is going to change their name. He says in Jehovah Jireh, God changed him. Notice, he had to change the name from his earthly name to a name given by God. Ah. Now Abraham looked and he saw it for himself. He had to come to that stage to realize, Lord, I can't bring forth the promise with this name. As Abram, I cannot bring forth this promise. No matter how much you've blessed me and have revealed yourself to me. And then the prophet says, God had to take a part of his name. And he took the H from Yahweh, from Jehovah. He took the him, the prophet says, from Elohim. And he put that in the name of Abram. And he made Abraham. And then Abram started to realize now that he could bring forth things now that he could never bring forth before. Because he could manifest this name, Abraham. And this was the name that God had known him as. And this was the name that God wanted to bring him to. The prophet says, you say, what's a man's name to do with anything? He says, oh brother, if you only knew why some of these modern names that we've got. Then he speaks of Elvis and Ricky and all these modern names. He says, God has names that it means things. It changes the whole course. So when Abraham's name was changed, it wasn't just a name changed. It changed the whole stream of life inside of the man. Amen. It changed the whole course of his life. It brought forth a fruit now that could never come forth before. Oh, friends, but the prophet says, God knows how to get a man. God knows how to get a person to that place. And I just pray for that, that as God deals with each of us individually, and as he draws near, you know, as he speaks, like he came near to Jacob at that time, that when he's near, lay a hold of him and keep him in your soul. And say, Lord, I want to keep you in my soul until you bless me. And let him do the full work. He says, and perseverant, he's praying for sick people. He says, oh Lord, if they're sick, may they not let loose. May they hold like Jacob. How perseverant he was. He held on and said, I will not let you go until you bless me. That blessing meant life to him. And so does it mean to us tonight. We pray that your presence will come and we'll be able to get a hold of you. And you will get a hold of us. Like you did with Jacob, the wrestling prince. That you will change our name. From a church book down here on earth to the Lamb's book of life in heaven. So it's not what the believers think about us. It's not what other people think about us. That's the church book down here. That we want our name to be changed to that which is in the Lamb's book of life in heaven. And the prophet says, Lord, grant people the grace to persevere, to hold on to him. Like Jacob, the wrestling prince, until there's their change. And then something else comes. It says, perseverant. Holding on until God confirms his promise in us. Ah, friends, Satan doesn't want us to do that. Satan wants to get us sidetracked and busy like we always say. He wants you to start off well and you start getting some strength back and you start making some, get some momentum. But he doesn't want you to stay there. You know, and persevere and hold on to that experience, that season that God is giving you when he's visiting you once again. And you hold on until that visitation achieves the fullness of its purpose inside of your soul. He doesn't want that, the devil. But to the believer, that's what we're crying out for. That's what your soul desires. You just want to be totally an overcomer. You want to overcome the old name. You want the old name to be dead and buried like Jacob was. When he came forth from there as a limping prince. But as we said once before, you know, Jacob, the Lord had to touch him in the hollow of his thigh so that he couldn't walk. He couldn't run away. God had to put him in a situation that he wasn't able to run anymore. He had to put him in a situation to say, Jacob, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. If only you knew the desperation of the hour. If only you knew how close you are to things that are coming upon you. And God knew it's an urgent time. I need to put him in a situation now that he can't run away this time. And then Jacob had to face up to himself. And then he faced up to God. And he prevailed and he overcame. And he became Israel. And from Israel, God brought forth the 12 sons, the 12 tribes. And from there, on the way through to the Lord Jesus Christ, he brought forth that fruit now as Israel, the sons of Israel. The prophet says in the message once more in Chicago, 1963, he says, what have we got the Pentecostal people today? Too many Rickies and the word Elvis, Ricky. You never heard of that in other days. It's a word, it's a name for this day. It goes with this, it means something. You say a name means nothing, and then he speaks of the various name changes in the Bible. Why did he change Jacob to Israel? Not until he wrestled with the Lord. Not until he overcame. And when Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave, the Bible says he had a new name. And when Jacob overcame, and the prophet says, and if the church can overcome, she will stop saying, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian. Those are church names. When she can overcome the world that's drawn her in there, she'll come back to the bride of Jesus Christ. She'll be Mrs. Jesus Christ. That's the name I'm sure every believer wants. No, you want to be Mrs. Jesus Christ. And he says, when the church overcomes, she'll become once again Mrs. Jesus Christ. He speaks about bringing forth a manifestation. He says, if you only knew the numerology of the Bible, or what Elvis or Ricky means in the scripture. Jesus said, you say there's nothing in your name. That name could only come in this last days for a last days people. So there's certain names have been born among society. Yeah? Certain names which are bringing forth last day manifestations. The last day names bringing forth last day manifestations. That's why the prophet says there was never these names like Elvis and that before. They had to come forth in the last days. He says that name could not be spoken, Elvis, until this day. That's the reason we've got these hellish things that's in the earth today. Because of such things, the whole human race is corrupted. So friends, these names mean something. These names manifest something. There's a life, there's something behind the name. And when you're first born as a natural person, you have a name. And you're going to manifest whatever the nature of the manifestation of that name is. And when you see, but I'm this manifestation isn't the fruits of the real name that he has for me. Well, friends, the only way is to go to Peniel. He's going to visit you sometime and he's going to deal with you. And he's going to want you to prevail with him, and he wants to prevail with you to bring about a change of that name. And friends, in those kind of times, in those kind of seasons, I'd say, don't worry about your neighbor and what they're doing. Now, don't point your fingers at other people and say, but this, that, and the other. Why not focus on your own soul? Why not just bring the blessing of God down into your own soul and you stay there and say, Lord, finish up this work inside of me. It's an urgent hour. We see the signs of the times all around us. Now we see the end of the ages upon us. We see the angel, three angels came. There's only one still alive. Billy Graham, and he's such an old man, he's not going to live much longer. He's 90-something years old. You know, God has already sent the three angels, two to Sodom. God has sent the one to the elect. What is God waiting for? It's for the bride to manifest that name, that new name. That's what she's supposed to manifest. Just coming to a close, he says, in God's gift, all his finds their places. He says, when Simon was changed from Simon to Peter, means little stone, all their names were changed. Because what you are called is something about it. When you speak something, it identifies itself. Ah, friends, so when God came and said to him, Jacob, what is your name? Jacob had to speak and identify his name in the prayer. I'm Jacob, Lord. I'm a deceiver, Lord. I cheated my brother of the birthright. I robbed him of the blessing. I wanted to cheat my father-in-law of his flocks. Lord, I wanted to run away at night. I didn't want to face up to Laban, my father-in-law. I tried to steal away in the night. That was his nature. And Lord, when I heard that Esau was coming, I tried to make a plan to try to protect myself. I tried to get myself out of the situation once again. But Lord, I'm tired of running. Lord, I'm tired of covering these things up. I'm tired of these kind of fruits in my life. Surely, Lord, I'm not predestined unto this. Lord, I don't want to be a Jacob any longer. Lord, I don't want this manifestation any longer. And then God says, this is what I was waiting for. Because you weren't born to be a Jacob. You were born to be an Israel. You weren't born to manifest that. You were born to manifest my life. You were born to manifest my promises. You were born to manifest that which I predestined you to manifest. Now he comes in the message, look, and these people are coming, praying for the ministers are coming and laying hands because they're seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the prophet says, Lord Jesus, this man has brought his confession and has come this morning. He's made his confession drop in the blood of Jesus Christ. May he be filled with the Holy Ghost, that God would change his name. Ah, friends, it's a life. It's the blessing. So many times the Holy Ghost comes and anoints us. So many times you get in his presence and we feel blessed. But our friends, at some stage inside of each and every one of our lives, we need to hold on to that blessing. We need to persevere with that blessing. We need to confess our name in the presence of the blood. We need to face up to who we are. We need to face up to why we are in the situation that we are. We need to see it the way that it is and confess it in his presence and acknowledge. Now, I was listening to the testimony one brother had given me, Brother Billy, in Northern Ireland, a long time back, of the revival in the Scottish Islands in 1949, the Lewis Awakening. It's a very powerful testimony. And this minister, the minister there was called Duncan Campbell, and how the Holy Ghost fell in that island. Very powerful. And there's this one lady, and she was a real godly sister. But her husband was a real godless man. But he was trusting in his own righteousness. And she had tried to testify to him. He didn't even want to go to church. He was trusting in his own refuge. And then when God visited that place, it was a very powerful testimony. God visited the place, and it was people just got under such a conviction of sin. And people came running to Duncan Campbell, the minister, said, please come to such and such a house. There's a man there in such a distress. And he went down to the house, and it was this sister's house, and there was her husband. And she said, please, Mr. Campbell, come and see the great sinner. And the husband was laying on his face in the bedroom in a desperate cry. And he was saying, oh God, hell is too good for me. Oh God, hell is too good for me. That's what's required, friends. Not, Lord, you know, I didn't mean to do it. And, you know, Lord, it was this and it was that and the other. That's not the real thing. When the real spirit of conviction came upon that man, he said, Lord, hell is too good for me. That's a real confession, friends. That's a genuine confession. You know, when you're saying, Lord, I don't deserve your blessing. I don't deserve anything from you, Lord. With the life that I've lived, with the things that I've done, I deserve nothing from you, but Lord, I'm asking for grace. And then, when he saw, that minister saw the man in such an anguish of soul, he said, but I'd learned one thing. Leave someone to stew in their conviction. You know, let God deal with somebody thoroughly to bring forth a thorough work. And then later on that same day, the grace of God visited that man. And the man rose up from there, and the man rejoiced in God. And then they started having meetings in his house. And he became a minister of the gospel. But friends, I really was touched by that confession. I said, oh Lord, that's what we need, Lord. The prophet says there are too many dry-eyed confessions. Too many dry-eyed acknowledgments of sin. Oh, but if you could just hold on and let the Lord really deal with us until we say to him, Lord, I'm not worthy of your blessing. But Lord, it's just your grace, and he'll do something for us. The prophet says, may he be filled with the Holy Ghost, that God would change his name, because he needs the Holy Ghost. And he's made his confession this morning. Then he says, Lord Jesus, another one came and he says, I pray God that you'll fill him with the Holy Ghost, because he's looking away now to Calvary, where only the blood of Jesus can cleanse him. Only one blood can leap across the chasm. That's the blood of Jesus Christ that flows within this chasm and puts this man next to God tonight. So the prophet was saying, Lord, here's this man. He can do nothing for himself, but there's a blood. This man sinned and he separated himself from you. But between you and this man, there's a great chasm. But the blood of Christ will flow across this chasm. The life of God himself can come right across the chasm and visit the heart and visit the soul of this man. And come and fill this man with the life that is in the blood, which is the token life. He says that's the blood of Christ. Puts him next to God tonight. Oh, friends, we're living in a day when God is just waiting upon us. You know, God is just waiting upon us. There's nothing more that God himself says he has to do. He's just waiting for his people. The prophet says to call him upon the scene. And friends, when the Lord puts us in certain situations and certain circumstances, let's take it as being from the Lord. Let's be honest. When the Lord puts you in a certain place and you look at your life in a certain condition, you look at the barrenness of your own soul, you look at the fruitlessness of your own life, oh, let's not make any excuses for it, friends. Let's not blame other people, or let's not start looking at other people's vineyards when our own vineyard isn't in a very good shape. But let's rather go and humble ourselves before the Lord. And when his presence draws near and the blessing draws near, let's make our genuine confession in the presence of God. Let's make a confession that brings the blood of Christ across the chasm, that brings that life inside of us and cleanses us once again, and puts something inside of us that we start to bring forth another kind of a life. And that's what we're predestinated unto. That is our destiny. That is our inheritance. That's why the prophet says, if God calls you, he's going to change your name. He's going to change your name. Samson, all as our example, finally in the end, he brought forth what he was supposed to bring forth. Now, God would have wanted to bring that forth so many times in the life of the man, but the man kept ducking and dodging and diving and getting involved in so many things. Until finally, one day, God put him in a prison house with fetters of brass that the man could go nowhere. God took away his eyes that he couldn't see all the things that had distracted him before. And then the soul of the man started to look up to God. The soul of the man started to come into an orbit, into a condition that it should always have been in. And then God sent forth something. And in his death, he manifested the real purpose of his life. He manifested what he was supposed to bring forth. Our friends, Israel is coming into the time of Jacob's trouble. They're going to have distress. God is going to surround them by enemies. It's going to come to the stage, it looks like they're going to be overrun and be destroyed. And they're going to come to a stage and say, but our tanks didn't do us any good. Our army didn't do us any good. Our air force didn't do us any good. The Mossad didn't do us any good. Now, all of our money that we've tried to make a covenant with Rome, it's done us no good. And then finally, God will have them in a situation that they'll look up and they'll realize, no, our salvation comes from the Lord. Our hope and our trust is in him. And the prophet says, and when you seek him, when you realize it's between life and death, I need him and I need him now. I need him tonight. I need him to change me now. He says, God will come on the scene. He says, because it's desperation that brings God on the scene. Let's submit ourselves to him, friends. Let's wait upon him. Let's continue to seek his blessing. And when the blessing comes, let's hold on to it until we become Mrs. Jesus Christ. Until we manifest exactly the promises that we're supposed to manifest. There's no shortcuts in these things, friends. We can jump into this and jump into that, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And we can manifest all kinds of things. We've done it. I was in Pentecost. We manifest a lot of things. But there wasn't the fruits of the life. There wasn't a new birth in the soul. There wasn't something that brought forth the new name in our lives that was supposed to come forth. But when you come under the message of the hour, when you come under the refiner's fire, when you come now to the great potter's wheel in this age, and he starts dealing with you, let's submit ourselves to him. And let's say, Lord, just do a thorough work at this time. Just finish your work inside of me, Lord. Lord, it may be painful. I don't want to have to go through these things that I'm going through. But you said nothing happens to a believer by chance. Everything happens for a purpose, Lord. You've ordained my path to go through this now, Lord. Just finish your work. Just achieve your purpose inside of me, that you may take me forth. Though I might be a limping prince from now, though I may not be what I used to be, you know, outwardly, but I'm going to bring forth what I'm supposed to bring forth. Let's dance, saints. Let's sing before we close and pray. So that time of Jacob's trouble, it's going to be the time of Israel's blessing. That's the time God's really going to bless them. And oh, friends, at these kind of times, we're singing the song, you know, I enter in. You know, it would be so wonderful to enter in if we could just stay in there as much as we possibly can. You may have to come out and go to work, go to college, do whatever you want. But if you could just quickly, whenever you can, get yourself back in there again and just lay there and continue to hold on to the Lord and say, Lord, change me, change us, change our church, change our children, change each and every one of us so that we may really be Mrs. Jesus Christ. To bring forth what we are supposed to bring forth. And I do believe that will be a blessing to the Lord and a blessing to his people.
He poured in the oil and wine.
In the oil and the wine, the time that restoreth my soul. I was sinking, dying on the Jericho road, when he poured in the oil and the wine. He poured in the oil and the wine, the kind that restoreth my soul. I was sick, dying on the Jericho road, when he poured in the hole. I will answer.
somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my end. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my end. If my heart is right when it calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when it calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening.
Why don't we just take some time before the Lord before we go from this place, saints? You know, it doesn't take a lot of people to turn things around. It just takes just a few people or just one person that'll just keep God in their soul until the blessing comes. And God, finding one person in his hand, he can start to do wonderful things. Whatever your condition in your life, you know, don't wonder about, why am I in this condition? Go into the presence of God and just say, Lord, I am where I am. Father, I just want to learn what you want me to learn. Father, maybe it's the fruits of bad decisions in years gone by. Lord, maybe it's disobedience, whatever it is, Lord, but I am where I am. And confess it to him and be honest before him and speak to him about your current condition. And then speak to him as your covenant redeemer. And say, but surely, Lord, you never ordained me to die in this condition. Surely, Lord, you predestinated me to bring forth your fruit, your name, in your season, Lord. Oh, Father, come and overshadow my soul. Lord, come and do a thorough work inside of me, Lord. Father, though we may be trying to deal with the different bugs in church at this time, but Lord, come and deal with these inward things inside of me, Lord. Let them perish, Lord. Let them pass away. Father, Lord, come and do your work and just lay a hold of him, friends. And as we go from this place, stay in his presence. Call upon his name and let him do a thorough work inside of your soul. And he'll bring forth a new hope. He'll bring forth a new dawn. He'll bring forth something new inside of your life. And you will say, from that time, I was never the same. From that time, something changed. Let's speak to him now. Whatever our conditions, let's be honest before the Lord. Let's all pray before we go. Father, we do bring ourselves before thee, Lord, at this time, Lord, Father. Just waiting upon thee, Lord, upon this evening, Lord. Just wanting to humble ourselves. If anybody has a request, if you want to raise your hand, we just ask Brother Max Jr. if you would kindly close for us in prayer.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for tonight, oh Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
We thank for your message, Lord, and your grace of help, Lord God.
Lord,
Father, we are gathering here, Lord, Father, we know, oh Father, was ordained of thee from the foundation of the world, oh Lord God. The words that were spoken, oh Heavenly Father, Lord, we know it cometh not from a man, oh Lord God, but from you, oh Father, calling your children back, oh Heavenly Father, Lord God. For the time, oh Lord, draw at night, oh Father, Lord God. Dear Lord, tonight, oh Father, we've come, oh Lord, with this open heart, oh Father, Lord, with a contrite spirit, oh Father, Lord God, with this broken heart, Lord, we pray your mercy, oh Father, Lord. Lord God,
yes,
Lord, we pray your grace,
O
Father, upon us, O Lord God. Lord, you anoint your bride, O Father, Lord God.
Yes,
Lord, you restore us, O Father, once again,
please,
O Father, Lord,
Lord
God.
Yes, Lord.
To the Pentecostal, Lord, for the age, O Father, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
To the oneness, O Father,
yes,
to the unity,
yes,
O Father, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, we seek it, O Father, Lord God. We pray for it, O Lord God, Lord. That, Lord, Father, Lord, not a rain, O Father, Lord, may it pour, O Father, Lord, upon, Lord, for your people, O God. O Father, this night, O Lord, you see every hand, O Father, Lord God, that have been lifted, O Heavenly Father, before thee, O God, Lord. Lord, Father, you said before, Lord, we ask, O Father, Lord, thou knowest, O Father, already, O God, Lord. This hour we pray your grace, O Father, Lord God, that every hand, O Father, be lifted, O Lord, whatever be in the hearts, O Father, Lord God, Lord, you grant abundantly, O Father, Lord, and exceedingly, O Father, in time, O Father, Lord, we love, Father, expect, Lord, this day, O God, Lord, you grant us, Lord, your grace, O Father, Lord, we pray for the ministry, O Lord God, even in thine house, O Lord God, thy servants, O Father, thou hast called, O Father, Lord, Lord, we lift them up before thee, O God, Lord, for they are the lights, O Father, Lord God, to lead your bride, O Father, we pray, O God, Lord. That you may anoint them, O Father, Lord God, with that unadulterated, Lord, for a word of yours, O Lord God, that you bring forth, O Lord God, a seed, O Heavenly Father, Lord God, bearing the fruits, O Lord God, O Lord, that thou hast, O Father, thy word, O Father, Lord, glorifying thy name, O Lord, going out, O Father, as the light, O Heavenly Father, Lord, O shining, Lord, and bringing, O Father, as many that thou hast called and chosen, O Father, Lord God, in this place, O Father, Lord, we pray your grace, O Father, Lord God, we pray your mercy, O Father, upon us, O Lord God, even as we part from here, O God, Lord, we lift ourselves, Lord, into thine holy and precious hands, O Father, Lord, that you, Lord, may draw nigh, O Father, Lord God, and grant us, O Father, tender mercies, O Father, Lord, to our various homes, O Father, Lord. We pray for us many, Lord God, that couldn't make it, O Lord, this night, O Lord, Father. We pray that you may draw nigh to them, O Father, Lord God. May the convicting spirit, O Father, Lord God, O Lord of our sins, O Father, Lord, of our mistakes, O Father, Lord God, O may fall upon us, O Lord God. For, Lord, if you've done it before, O God, Lord, we know you are the same yesterday, O Father, Lord God, O today and forever, Lord God. And we pray that, Lord, you may do it once again, O Father, Lord, in our midst, O Father, Lord God, that we may die, Lord, Father, to this whole nation, O Father, Lord God, and be born, O Father, Lord God, with the name, O Father, Lord God, in harmony, Lord, with the theophany, O Father, Lord God, up there, O Father, waiting on us, O Lord God, that we may fulfill, O Father, thy purpose, O Lord God, in our lives, O Lord God, in the calling, O Father, in which, O Father, Lord, that was called each and every one of us, O Lord, we pray, O Father, Lord God, your will, O Father, be done, O Lord, may, Lord, Father, our will, O Father, be dead, O Lord God, and you have, Lord, for your perfect will, Lord God, among us, O Lord, this night, O Lord, we pray your grace, O Father, Lord. Yes, we pray your mercy, O Father, Lord, this day. Bless your servant, O Lord, who have stand, O Father, Father, Lord God. Faithfully, Lord God, Lord. You restore him, O Father, thy vet, O Lord God, and thy strength, O Lord. You bless his home, O Lord, Father. You bless his family, O Lord. We pray this day. Lord, you strengthen us, O Lord God, and grant us, O Father, thy grace, we pray. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. And
amen. 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 God bless. Let's close with that song. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophets were told. May God bless everybody traveling. Mercies to everybody in Jesus' name.
Some people are waking. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile dismembered. The horrors encumbered. Eternity. Of redemption is here. Man's heart are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps will
then, look up, your redemption is here. You think free is growing, Jerusalem's restoring, and us a lifelong betrothed. Today she is calling, a lot of rains are falling, return on his purse to your the day of redemption is here. Man's heart a failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps will flame. Look up, your redemption is here. Powers are shaken, and many are mistaken, cause meaning to be of the sky. The church is the power, the shaken, the sour, the day of redemption is nigh. Oh, the day of redemption is here. Men's heart are failing. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps there. Look up, your redemption is here.
False prophets are lying, cause truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation God's revelation will walk where the apostles have trod. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear.
Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps will flame. Look up, your redemption is here. Day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps will flame. Look up, your redemption.